Blog Talk Radio.
Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمدا رسول أشهد أن محمدا رسول الله هيا على الصلاة هيا على الصلاة هيا على الصلاة هيا على الصلاة الله أكبر الله لا إله إلا الله
اللهم رب هذه الدعوة التامة والصلاة القائمة آتي محمد الوسيلة والفضيل ودار أشد راهو بعد مقام مقبول الذي بأده الحمد لله رب العالمين Alhamdulillah, summa alhamdulillah, all unqualified praise is due to Allah, and after that, all unqualified praise is due to Allah. Alhamdulillah, alladhi khalaqa al-insana fi ahsani taqweem. All praise is due to Allah, who created the human being in the most excellent mold. Wa ba'atha nabiyina mubashirin wa munzirin. And commissioned from among them messengers, as bringers of good news and as warners. Wa ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. We bear open and sound testimony that there is no deity, no object of worship except Allah. Lahul mulk, his is the kingdom. Wa lahul hamd, to him is due all unqualified praise. Bi yadihil khayr, in his hand is all good. Wa huwa ala kulli shay'in qadir, and he has power over all things. ونشهد أن سيدنا محمد عبده ورسوله. And we bear open and sound testimony without hesitation, without reservation, without embarrassment, that our leader Muhammad, to whom the Quran is revealed, is his slave servant and his messenger. بعثه في الأميين. Allah raised him up from among the unlettered. رسول منهم يعلو عليهم آياته. A messenger from among them, showing them how to follow the signs of Allah. ويزكيهم. And purifying them. وَيُزَكِّيهِمْ وَيُعَلِّمُهُمُ الْكِتَابَ وَالْحِكْمَةَ, and teaching them the book and the wisdom. وَيُخْرِجُهُمْ مِنَ الظُّلُمَاتِ إِلَى النُّورِ, and drawing them out of the darkness into the light. وَإِنْ كَانُوا مِنْ قَبْلُ لَفِي ضَلَالٍ مُبِينٍ, while before this they were in open, obvious, and evident straying. Allahumma salli wa sallim wa barak ala Sayyidina Muhammad. O Allah, send your peace and your blessings upon our leader Muhammad, wa ala alihi, and upon his family, wa ashabihi, and upon his companions, ajma'in, all of them. Wa ya ayyuhal muslimun, assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh. The peace, mercy, and blessings of Allah the Most High be upon you. Wa jumu'a mubarak, الجمعة مبارك. أما بعد، أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. ألم تر إلا الذي حاج إبراهيم من ربه أن أتاه الله الملك إذ قال إبراهيم رب الذي يحيي ويميت قال أنا أحيي وأميت قال إبراهيم فإن الله يأتي بالشمس من المشرق فأتي بها من المغرب فبحت الذي كفر والله لا يهدي القوم الظالمين. صدق الله العظيم. Allah the Mighty has spoken the truth. This is an expression of the 258th verse of the second chapter, Surah Al-Baqarah. Have you not considered the one who argued with Abraham about his Lord merely because Allah had given that one kingship? When Abraham said, my Lord is the one who gives life and causes death, he said, that is the other. He said, I give life and cause death. Abraham said, indeed, Allah brings up the sun from the east, so bring it up from the west. So the disbeliever was overwhelmed by astonishment, and Allah does not guide the wrongdoing people. The hadith of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam that we are going through at this time is about the devoutly obedient intellect. The devoutly obedient intellect is most useful in creation. Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu, he reported the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Allah created the intellect. He told it to stand up, and it did so. Then he told it to turn its back, and it did so. Then he told it to turn its face, and it did so. Then told it to sit, and it did so. He then said, I have created nothing better or more excellent or finer than you. By you I shall receive. By you I shall give. By you I shall know. By you I shall reprove. By you reward will be gained, and by opposing you punishment will be received. Sadaq Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I'm just making a note before going forward. The Facebook is saying that it's trying to connect. We don't have any control over that. The Facebook folks may not be getting me. Well, I see it appears to be back right now, but that's probably the last thing I'm going to say if I can resist anything about that. But continuing, in this pursuit of the subject of understanding the science of the truth and reality. This is the seventh part of that, the science of truth and reality. And it all rests upon Abraham, alayhi salatu wassalam, prayers and peace be upon him. And it is at this point, 258, that Abraham brings us to show that supporting obedient scientific nature in creation is one of the ways to dumbfound your enemies, to win the argument, and to pursue and establish the truth. This alludes to the fact that truth and reality is also beyond what we think we know. It's a big part of what we'll be saying today. Truth, it's simple enough to say the science of truth and reality. That English sentence is easy to say. But when we understand truth and reality to be haq, and when we understand science to be ilm, we should understand that it's much deeper than whatever comes commonly to our mind when we use either of those three words, science, truth, reality. There's a common grasp of those three words in the English vocabulary, but the subject itself is not at all. Those words are simply markers to know the general domain that we are in, that we're traveling through to get an understanding. So it is the subject itself of the science of truth and reality is far beyond what we think, and Allah knows it all. We're at that point in this hadith the hadith itself, at the end of it, it says, by you I shall receive, by you I shall give, by you I shall know, by you I shall reprove, by you reward will be gained, and by opposing you punishment will be received. Each one of these effectively is actually a chapter, or at least a khutbah, let's put it like that. So today we're speaking to, by you I shall know. By you I shall, this is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is Allah's meaning, the Prophet gives the words, and this is Hadith Qudusi. Some say Hadith Qudsi, some say Hadith Qudusi. By you I shall know, this is what we're addressing today. This part of the topic is much more about Islamic reasoning. What is reasoning? Reasoning is inference making. Somebody, you hear someone in a conversation, especially nowadays in the TV, you know, talking heads and the like, we're a little more alert to these kind of things nowadays. Or it says, well, you inferred that, blah, blah, blah. Well, the inference of what you're saying is this and that and the other. So reasoning, this process that goes on in our head, we can call it cogitation, but cogitation is almost like consciousness, but the idea of reasoning. Reasoning is inference making. That is, you line up certain premises, and by the relationship between those two premises, something else is inferred. And what the role of the inference is effectively to present what you deem to be the conclusion or what you think the evidence makes and supports as a claim that you're making. So that's what we're going to spend a little more time with it, but that's what this is. This part of the topic is much more about Islamic reasoning, and reasoning is inference making. Reasoning or inference making is the foundations upon which your conclusions or claims rest. Okay, so anybody who's making a claim, or anybody who says this is the conclusion of the matter, well, that is based on whatever they have used as evidence and what those evidences combined infer. So that's supposed to be the support of the claim that they make. So if you want to understand, digest, deconstruct whatever somebody's argument or way of reasoning, et cetera, okay, well, you find their conclusion, and then look at what they use to come to that conclusion. So then when you look into what they use to come to that conclusion, then you can find out if the inference is valid or true or justified, what have you, because you look at the evidence, and the evidence as it is being used to support their reasoning, their inferences, and thereby their claim or their conclusion, you can say, well, yeah, that's true, or that's not true, using small t true. Or you can say that it's valid or it's invalid. Something can be valid, but it doesn't necessarily have to be true. But I didn't come actually to teach the whole lesson. But the idea is that some people can use premises. Let's go God says la ilaha illallah, so we'll go with the negative first. The negative side of it is, person can have things that they identify to be evidence to support a claim that they want to make. But if the evidence that they use is itself false, the structure of their argument can be good, as otherwise said, valid, but their conclusion is unsound, or their argument is unsound. Why is it unsound? Because the basis for your conclusion is evidence that is itself not true. If you use evidence, it's like, whatever, you try to, well, okay, if you build a house out of straw, right? I mean, just straight straw. You know the story. You build out of straw, then it's easy for that to get blown down. It's not solid. It's not sound, right? So it is with people's premises. People use these premises, and premises constitute a part of the evidence base that they're trying to justify the conclusion. But just look at this is your evidence. Okay, well, let's take that evidence apart or to task or to assay it. Say, okay, is that statement true? All right? So So I'm going to leave it there. I'm trying to avoid the temptation to go with just that. The point is that you have to evidence the inference / the conclusion. All right. So this is what we're actually walking through, because there's a statement that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes in the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He says, "By you I shall know. By you I shall know." So now we're about to do a bit of reasoning before we actually state our conclusion, right? And Allah knows best. All right. First, how can we cause Allah to know anything when Allah knows everything? Allah knows everything. So when the statement is made, "By you I shall know," wait a minute, you already know everything. So how can this be true? And this is what happens with reports, and this is what people outside of the Quran do with the Quran. Those who reject it, they say, this doesn't make logical sense. That doesn't make, that's not quote-unquote true. The world and reality, et cetera, rejects that as a concept. I'm speaking of people who are outside of al-Islam, outside of the Quran, who want to reject the Quran because of something not fitting their way of thinking, their frame, their how can you say, standards for what constitutes evidence that can be used in arguments. So in any case, that's what happens when people see things like this, who reject, that hadith is whatever, weak, daif, this, that. How can this be the case? Okay, I can understand why you might take their position if you don't understand how to think beyond what appears to be a contradiction. Let me just shoot you in a direction, and I'm going to come back. Quran, the Quranic basis for, okay, you have people who have these ideas that if it doesn't suit or fit specific concrete material logic, then it must not be true. Okay, that's not the case. You get from the story of Musa alayhi salatu wasalam and his walk with the wise man, if you will, you will find also that that very story is designed to tell us that. Everything that you derive from your rule-based thinking is not the only way to pursue the truth. Everything that you have learned that is literal, and it is literally true, what you have learned, but what you have to understand is there is something beyond your material logic. That's critical, and that can be derived and understood from the story of Musa alayhi salatu wasalam. And also, inside the story of Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam, there's a speaking to what Allah will teach you, and what Allah teaches you, and then you apply it. But then sometimes even what you apply from what Allah has taught you will not override God's will in that matter, even though you did the right thing by using what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had taught you. Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, he was using what he had learned from what Allah had taught him, but then Allah sent him to meet one who was inspired beyond what Musa had learned. Jacob alayhi salatu wasalam, Jacob told his sons, "Don't you all enter by one door and one gate," and they went, they did what he said, but it didn't make a difference when it came to the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But Allah said he did what we had taught him to do. He was fulfilling his obligation to act on what he knows. But Allah's will is beyond knowledge that we have. Allah's will transcends that, and it's very important to simply understand that literal thinking, literal logic in that sense, is not the only way to truth. It is one of the ways to test truth and to detect falsehood, but it is not one of the ways to test that which is deemed to be the truth. It's not to test the truth per se, but it is one of the ways by which when someone presents a claim, you can use logic to dismantle it, right? And that's one of the things that we see in Abraham. Abraham said, okay, since you're saying that you're God, and then I'm saying that God is the one who caused the sun to rise from the east and set from the west. So if you're the one that do that, before you say, no, I'm the one who caused the rise from the east and set from the west, before you say that, now God that I'm talking about makes it rise from the east and set in the west. Now make it rise otherwise. Make it rise from the west and set in the east. Well, that's the end of the argument. Because by that logic, by that claim that you're making that you are God, well, since it's God that does that, since you're God, then that means you should be able to reverse it. So it undermines the falsehood in terms of whatever is presented as a claim for falsehood, but whatever is presented as a claim for truth, but that is false, logic can enable you to dismantle the falsehood, and even if it doesn't reveal the truth in that way to the person, it certainly establishes that what they are bringing is false. And this, again, our conclusion to this whole subject is going to be, Allahu A'lam, this is going to be very simple, because here's that point made right there. Because truth comes and falsehood vanishes. So it is the truth that dispels the falsehood. So the truth is in what Abraham said. He said he's the one that causes the sun, Allah is the one who causes the sun to rise from the east and from the west. Okay, you have a claim that you're God. Okay, then reverse that. So then it disappeared. The falsehood disappeared. His brain literally stopped working in the face of that. And so truth comes, hits falsehood in the head, another place in the Quran, and knocks out his brain. So the logic that's brought by the one who is presenting falsehood as true, it gets undermined by the one who has that logic on the first basis, grounded in what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has revealed, has created, has done, has established. And when it comes up against what somebody else is presenting that contradicts what Allah has revealed, what Allah has created, then argument's over. And the one who's presenting an argument is done. All right. I'm mentioning that so that we can understand that there's another layer, there's another level of thinking that we have to, by the grace of Allah, inshallah, pursue in order for, by you I shall know, to make sense and, quote unquote, to be understood as the truth from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through this report from the Prophet. So this is what we're doing now. What we're doing now is reasoning very specifically from this moment. So how can we cause Allah, God says, by you I shall know. So how can we cause Allah, who knows everything, to know anything? We can ask, as the Quran does, who is it that will loan to Allah a beautiful loan? This is 2:245. This is one of our premises. This is one of the evidences that we are using to reason with. Who is he that will loan to Allah a beautiful loan, which Allah will double unto his credit and multiply many times? It is Allah that gives you want or plenty, and to him shall ye be returned. All right. So this is the Quran. This is not hadith. This is the Quran, where Allah is saying, give me a loan. Give me a loan. Give me a loan. And Allah said, who will loan to Allah a beautiful loan? How do you give a loan to one who owns everything? Even whatever it is you offer as a loan, he already owns it. So how do you loan something to someone who owns the thing that you're going to loan? So Allah has given us that as an evidence to say, yeah, you can give me something. You can give me that. Who will loan to Allah a beautiful loan? Who will loan to Allah a beautiful loan? That he will double, you return it to you, double and multiply. So that's one of the ways that you go about trying to answer the question. Allah says, by you I will know. Okay, how can we cause Allah, who knows everything, to know? Well, just like how can we loan to Allah, who owns everything? Same way. Okay, that's just one premise. Allahu A'lam. Or, so that's one question that Quran gives us to ask, right? In an effort to answer, by you I shall know. Or we can ask, how can we visit Allah? How can we feed Allah? How can we give Allah something to drink? We can ask those questions. Because Allah has shown us how to do that. Allah said, you can make a loan to me. And Allah has said through the hadith of Muhammad sallallahu, you can visit me, you can feed me, you can give me something to drink. That's what Allah has said. Here's the hadith of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Says, on the authority of Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu, he said, the messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, on the day of resurrection, Allah will ask, O son of Adam, or he will state, O son of Adam, I fell ill, and you visited me not. And he will say, O Lord, and how should I visit you when you are the Lord of the worlds? He will say, did you not know that my servant so-and-so had fallen ill and you visited him not? Did you not know that had you visited him, you would have found me with him? O son of Adam, I asked you for food and you fed me not. He will say, O Lord, and how should I feed you when you are the Lord of the worlds? He will say, did you not know that my servant so-and-so asked you for food and you fed him not? Did you not know that had you fed, you would surely have found that with me? O son of Adam, I asked you to give me to drink and you gave me not to drink. He will say, O Lord, how should I give you to drink when you are the Lord of the worlds? He will say, my servant so-and-so asked you to give him to drink, and you gave him not to drink. Had you given him to drink, you would have surely found that with me. Sadaqa Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So the question is, how can we cause Allah to know something? Well, again, you have asked the same thing with regard to, how can we feed him? How can we give him to drink? How can we loan to him? How can we visit him? These answers are already in the Quran and in the life model of Prophet Muhammad. These things that, quote unquote, that we can do for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The specificity of it comes, and Allah knows best for everything we say. Let's walk back to through each one of these statements to get what Allah is saying as the truth about what he is charging the servant with. He's charging him with, I was in this condition and you did nothing. I was in that condition and you did nothing. I was in this condition and you did nothing. Or you did not do what should have been done. All right, so I'm just pointing to just what Allah has said, what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This is Hadith Qudsi 2, where Allah answers the servant's question. So the servant asks, "How do I do that?" I'm going to abbreviate it the best I can. So how do I do that? You know, you asked me. You said I didn't do this, but how could I do that? You said I didn't do that, but how could I do that? You said I didn't do the other, but how could I do that? So Allah answers the servant's question as to, this is how you do it. This is the Allah's answer, this is how you do it. And there's a consistency in all three that gives us the principle of how it is done. That is, how is it realized? That Allah expected of the servant, how would it have been realized? Because that's what the servant didn't understand. How can I give you food to drink, give food to eat? How can I give you drink? How can I visit you? Allah said, this is how. So Allah's answer is saying, this is how that is done. And what was Allah's answer? I'll just read those three answers. And I just want you to see the similarity, or rather the equation, or the fact of the equality of all those statements. And he says this: had you visited him, you would have found me with him. Had you fed him, you would surely have found that, the parenthesis says, you would have found that the reward for doing so with me. But in, directly it says, you would have found that with me. Whatever it is that you gave, you would have found that with me. The translator wants to say, you know, be clear from any kind of idea that you can literally give to Allah. And I understand that. But literally is saying, had you fed him, you would have surely found that with me. Okay? And so then, had you given him to drink, you would have found that with me. So the core of each one of them, you would have found that with me. You would have found that with me. You would have found that with me. You would have found the food. You would have found me with that servant. So you found him with me. So you would have found him with me. I'm there with him. Then he's with me. That's with your visit. The food, you would have found that with me. The water, you would have found that whatever you gave me to drink, you would have found that with me. So it's about something that we do that gets to Allah. Something that we do that gets to Allah. Like in the statement where it's saying, by you I shall know. So the implication is that you have some knowledge and that knowledge gets to Allah. Just like if you have some, you have a friend, you ought to visit, so your body gets to the place where you're visiting with Allah. Food, your food gets to Allah. Your drink gets to Allah. Your loan, as the Quran talks about, who will loan to Allah a beautiful loan? It's got to get to Allah some kind of way. Who's going to give it a loan so I can pay it back? So your loan gets to Allah. So Allah is saying, when you do these things that I expect of you, you will find them with me. Now, we're reasoning, right? All right. Now, in the Quran, 22:37, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. لن ينل الله اللهوم ولا دماء حاوى ولكن ينله التقوى منكم كذلك سخرها لكم لتكبروا الله على ما هداكم وبشر المحسنين صدق الله العظيم. And it says, an expression of it, their meat will never reach Allah. Their meat will never reach Allah. Nor will their blood, speaking of the sacrificial animals, you know, we make an Eid al-Adha, particularly we make those sacrifices, right? But the meat doesn't reach Allah. The blood doesn't reach Allah. This is 22:37, and it says, but what reaches him is taqwa from you. Thus have we subjected them to you, that you may glorify Allah for that to which he has guided you, and give good tidings to the doers of good. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, Sadaqallahu Alazim. So, in all the things that we taught, every concrete thing that we've spoken of, seeing the loan as a concrete, seeing the food as a concrete, seeing the drink as a concrete, seeing the visit as a concrete, seeing the sacrificed meat as a concrete, it is not any of those concrete things or those acts themselves that reach Allah. It is the consciousness and the intention, the taqwa, as 22:37 says. It is the taqwa, and understand, this translator says piety. This translator says piety. And again, our vocabulary is nested in a web of meanings that have a semantic field that they are constricted by. Which is to say, if we think about taqwa, and the only thing we think about in terms of taqwa is piety, and so you move away from taqwa, then you move over to piety, then all of your thinking is coming out of, well, what does piety mean? All right? So then your knowledge is confined to the limits of the vocabulary and the meanings tied to that English word piety. And it gets back to, it's not a bad thing to be good, but it sets a limit on how we respond to and read what Allah has revealed, and it keeps us in a much more ritualistic form of worship. It doesn't invite the intellect. It doesn't invite reasoning. It doesn't invite thinking. That's a problem. That's a problem. Inshallah, I don't know, maybe tomorrow we'll mention more about it, but one author talks about, Muslim, alhamdulillah, talks about one of the problems historically in the modern Islamic culture is the problem of the unthought and the unthinkable. There are certain things that we haven't given thought to, and there are certain things that we deem to be unthinkable. And because of the unthought and the unthinkable, we don't think in certain ways, so we have certain mental strictures and mental structures and mental limitations cause us not to get the full breadth and the full benefit of God's revelation and the life model of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because we're only told, don't think over there. Don't think, keep all your thinking right here. Don't go over there. Who told you that? Who said you could think outside that box? So it's not the concrete thing or the act itself that reaches Allah. It is the consciousness and the intention, the taqwa. Now, this taqwa should be understood. Imam Muhammad rahimahullah, he gives us the an expression, quote-unquote, a translation of it, that regardfulness. And that regardfulness means to give everything its due regard, meaning look at it the way that it should be looked at, hold it sacred at the level of sanctity that it should be held to. And that means there are some things that have been elevated to a level of sanctity that's not justified, especially if you're elevating it above something else more sacred. There are things that are more sacred. The Quran tells us, and blood ties have a prior right over our ties of fraternity. Blood ties have a prior right. Oh, my mama not a Muslim, so blah, blah, blah. Man, you better respect your mother. Have due regard for your mother. Same way with your father. All the rest of that. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has ordered it that way. And so many other things. So this taqwa is being conscious of things, being regardful of things, the consciousness of Allah's will behind it. So whatever it is that we're speaking of, I need to check my whatever it is that we're thinking and however it is that we're thinking, the first filter, and this is how this whole series, before we got to this section of the series, it begins. It starts with Allah. It starts with Allah. Qul huwa Allahu ahad. It starts with Allah. So the first filter for whatever it is that we're thinking of and whatever it is that we're paying attention to, what does it have to do and how does it sit sit the will of God? What is God's will for it? What order of importance and priority and sanctity and sacredness has Allah placed on it? Right? And are we thinking about it in the way that Allah would have us think about? That's what taqwa is, to regard something in the way that Allah would have you regard it. Ya ayyuha alladhina aminu taqullaha haqqa. That's that truth and reality again. Have taqwa in truth and reality. Have true and real taqwa. What is true and real taqwa? True and real taqwa is to be conscious of a thing in the manner that Allah would have you be conscious of it. That is taqwa. You can do that, as the Prophet says, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He said, there are those people who fast, and from their fast, they get nothing but hunger and thirst. They don't get the reward that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has promised to the one who fasts sincerely, la'alakum tattaqun, that they might learn this God consciousness, this consciousness in the way that Allah would have them be conscious. No, they are doing it for some other reason, some other purpose, with something else in mind. And because they're doing it with something else in mind, they don't get credit for it, even though they're doing the thing that all the others are doing. But because their consciousness in what they are doing is not the consciousness that Allah would have them in as they're doing it, then all they get is hungry and thirsty. They don't get any credit for it. Just like 2237 says, it's not their meat, it's not their blood that reaches Allah, but it's the taqwa that reaches Allah. Same way with the fast. It's not your abstention that reaches Allah. It's the intention behind the abstention that reaches Allah. And if you don't have that right intention, it doesn't matter what you do, it does not reach Allah. It will not be with Him. ربنا لا تزغ قلوبنا بعد إذ هديتنا وهب لنا من لدنك رحمة إنك أنت الوهاب. Oh Allah, let not our hearts deviate now after your guidance is right. Grant us mercy from your own presence, for surely you're the grant of bondage without measure. Amin. Allahumma amin. Alhamdulillah. So, bismillah. So it's not the concrete thing itself that reaches Allah. It is the consciousness and the intention, the taqwa, the consciousness of Allah's will behind it. This is that part. It's just this piece of the obedient intellect needs to know that. Whatever it is, the obedient intellect needs to know, okay, well, what is Allah's will behind this act that He has ordered for me? What is Allah's will for it? What is the order of magnitude of significance and sanctity and sacredness for it? Am I giving it the due regard? And if I'm giving it the due regard with an awareness and a consciousness of Allah's will for it, alhamdulillah, then you will find that with Allah. Because that's the only thing that reaches Allah. Every act, alhamdulillah, rabbil alameen. So Islamically speaking, apparent contradictions aren't reasons for rejection, but opportunities to learn wisdom and be guided. So when the Hadith Qudsi says, by you I shall know, we should apply the same logic and reasoning that I've been sharing. Apply that to by you I shall know, right? The first thing, of course, strike any thought that what is not to be included in the equation is any thought that you can cause Allah to know anything. Put that out, put that aside, fine. But you don't have to throw the rest of it out. Okay, well, since by you I shall know, and we can't teach Allah who knows everything, whether this hadith is da'if, or this hadith is whatever. No, you just have to put some thought into it with taqwa, insha'Allah, and Allah knows best. So strike the idea that we can cause Allah to actually know, but then upon the same evidences from the Quran and Hadith that we have cited in terms of how can it be that by you I shall know, all we have to do is put it into the same class, put the by you I shall know, just put it into the same class of things that Allah has already told us in Quran and Hadith Qudusi, his meaning, the Prophet's words. So Allah has told us both in the Quran and in the Hadith in that respect. So just put it in the same class. Who's gonna loan me a loan? How can I loan you a loan? You're God. You didn't visit me. How can I visit you? You're God. I was hungry. How can I feed you? You're God. I was thirsty. Well, how can I quench your thirst? You're God, right? You know, and you say my sacrifices don't reach you, so it's like, how do I reach you? So we have to plot, just put it in the same category of all those, because that's what it is. It's in the same category. As with all those other matters, it is not literally causing Allah to know. You're not literally visiting Allah. You're not literally feeding Allah. You're not literally giving Allah to drink. You're not literally loaning to Allah. You're not literally sacrificing meat for Allah. No. But what you are doing is affirming by your consciousness of Allah what He wants our obedient intellect to know. There's it right there. All the other things, how does that relate to knowledge? Be conscious in the way that Allah would have you conscious about the things that He wants you to know. Be an obedient intellect that has taqwa for God and all those things that Allah invites us to know. Allah invites us to know in the very first revelation, Iqra bismi rabbika alladhi khalaq, khalaqal insana min alaq. Iqra wa rabbuka al-akram alladhi ya'lama bil qalam, 'alama al-insana ma lam ya'lam. So read, and your Lord is most generous. Allah is saying, the way I give you is through your obedient intellect. You use your obedient intellect to read, not just the book of Allah on pages, but the book of Allah in creation. Read, and you read with taqwa. You read with a consciousness of what Allah's will for knowledge is. And there's a whole world of knowledge in the life model of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. One that comes to mind just right away. It said, "Those who seek knowledge to compete with scholars, those are not the ones that are going with taqwa, pursuing knowledge with taqwa. They are pursuing knowledge with the idea of competing with scholars." Well, there goes your intention. You won't find that with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then the reports talk about the three who did all these various things, the martyr, the qari, or the teacher, and the one who is charitable. But it was all done without the right intention, right motivation, right consciousness. They had the wrong idea. They didn't understand. They didn't have taqwa for it. They didn't have the consciousness of it as to how it relates to the will of Allah and that final destiny. And, of course, in the end, they were dragged on their face until they landed in the fire. So the idea is that causing Allah to know something literal, but it is doing so. You do so by affirming through your consciousness of Allah as to what He wants our obedient intellects to know for our benefit and guidance. Everything that we do is for our benefit. It's for our benefit. And Allah tells us, do it for me. He said, do this for me. But why is He telling us? He's giving us motivation to do for Him, but it's not reaching Him. Our intention, as we said, reaches Him, but the benefit reaches us. The benefit reaches us. So by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala inviting us to do something for Him, He's inviting us to do something for Him so that we can benefit. Allahu Akbar. If the evidence says that the literal thing doesn't reach Allah, but it is the will and intention that is in accordance with Allah's will to him, then what does this, by you I shall know, mean? It means, and Allah knows best, it means when we know what Allah would have us know, walk with me on this, when we know what Allah would have us know, and we know it in the way that Allah would have us know it, we know what Allah wants us to know. When you know what Allah wants you to know, meaning you got a checklist, and the other side of it, as you check down that list, you come to know things on the list. So you know what Allah wants you to know, and then you gradually come into the possession of the knowledge of things on that list, let's say. When you know what Allah wants you to know, and you know it in the way that Allah would have you know it. There are people who know things, but do they know it in the way that Allah would have them know it? Okay, so one, do we know what Allah wants us to know? And do we know it in the way that Allah wants us to know it? Then that knowledge and that way of knowing is with Allah. Now that's a true statement literally. If you don't get stuck on verbiage, it's a true statement literally. That is, when you know what Allah wants you to know, and you know it in the way that Allah wants you to know it, then whatever it is that you know, and however it is that you know it, that knowledge is already with Allah. That knowledge is already with Allah. So if you know that, and you know it the way Allah wants you to know, and that knowledge is with Allah, then there you are, just like the visit. If you had visited him, you would found me there with him, right? Your meat and blood, the meat and blood doesn't reach me, but it's your taqwa that reaches me. So if you have a consciousness that has taqwa for the knowledge that Allah would have you know, then that statement, don't take the, you caused me to know, don't take no, K-N-O-W, in the way that you commonly understand, K-N-O-W. Take it in the context of what Allah has already given you as evidence to support it, that it, what reaches me is, and let's stay with this case, what reaches me is what you know, and as you know it, the way that I intend for you to know it, and when you know it in that way, you will find that knowledge with me. So are you separate from your mind? Are you separate from your consciousness? No. So if that knowledge is with Allah, then that means that you are with Allah as well. Now, if anybody want to walk out and say, you know, yeah, God came in a person as Fahim Shuaib, or whatever, I used my name because I didn't want to use anybody else's name. It doesn't mean that. All of that is figurative. Figurative in the sense of a way of understanding it. A way of understanding it. But in the level of haqq, reality, that is what it is. And nothing that I say is not consistent with another report that we always give, and I'll give it here as we conclude. Not only does that conclusion conform to the evidence that I use to support it, that is the Quran and the many representations up to now, the hadith that I brought right now, those, and the conclusion that I gave you, no, you're not giving Allah any knowledge, but that knowing brings you into a relationship with Allah that can be read as, by you I shall know. And here's the final report that supports what we're saying. On the authority of Abu Hurairah, you heard this many times, who said, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, whoever shows enmity, that is Allah says in Hadith Qudsi again, whoever shows enmity to someone devoted to me, I shall be at war with him. My servant draws not near to me with anything more loved by me than the religious duties I have enjoined upon him. And my servant continues to draw near to me with supererogatory works so that I shall love him. When I love him, I am his hearing with which he hears, his seeing with which he sees, his hand with which he strikes, and his foot with which, were he to ask something of me, I would surely give it to him, and were he to ask me for refuge, I would surely grant him it. I do not hesitate about anything as much as I hesitate about seizing the soul of my faithful servant. He hates death, and I hate hurting him. So the obedient intellect is knowing when Allah is knowing. You got to slow up. I understand how old impulses can get in the way of understanding, but just slow up. If Allah is saying, I am his hearing with which he hears, is he not hearing and Allah is hearing? I am the seeing with which he sees, is he not hearing? Pardon me, is he not seeing and Allah is seeing? I am the hand with which he strikes. Is Allah not striking as he is striking? I am the feet upon which he walks. Is Allah, quote unquote, not walking as he is walking? This is what the report is saying. But say, okay, so if he is knowing, is it not true that Allah is knowing? Allah is always knowing. Allah is always knowing. So it is true no matter what we say, no matter what we're talking about. At the same time that you are knowing, Allah is knowing. But this particular knowing that the Hadith Qudus is speaking about, the best thing that Allah has created, is about the obedient intellect. And that obedient intellect is a product of ibadah, the fard, do the obligatory things, prayer, charity, better said, zakat, fasting, hajj, those things, and then go beyond that to do the supererogatory deeds. Then that's when that greater, quote-unquote, coalescence by Allah's design and by Allah's statement happens. So I say again, it's by you I shall know. But it's not teaching Allah something that Allah doesn't know. Allah already knows. But by the obedient intellect growing into the capacities and the potentials and the capabilities that are inherent in it, by obeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in time he will see in the way that Allah intends for him to see. So much so, it's as though Allah is seeing. He will hear, and she will hear in such a way that it's not just their seeing, it is a hearing. Allah is hearing them. And all the other categories. Okay, so it is with knowledge. So it's like no matter what we come to know, Allah already knew it. But Allah has invited us to act and behave and learn and study in such a way and worship in such a way that there's a much smaller gap, let's call it, between what Allah wills for the world and for you, because he now, by your obedient intellect, knowing what Allah would have you know, and knowing, I'm not trying to point to myself, this is me and you. Knowing what Allah wants you to know, اِقْرَى بِسْمِ رَبِّكَ الَّذِي خَلَقَ, and knowing it in the way that Allah wants you to know it, and then applying it in obedience in accordance with Allah's will, so that you and the world can benefit by it, you become an access point, an entry point for the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the world, so that the knowledge that you use to apply it is as though it is, and if it is knowledge at all, it is Allah's knowledge. So by you I shall know. But we're not giving Allah anything. It's an invitation to us to learn and know in the way that Allah would have it, and Allah knows best. ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار. Oh Allah, give us the excellent things in this world and the excellent things in the world to come, and save us from the chastisement of the fire. Oh Allah, we regard you with the highest regard. We worship you with the best worship. We beg you from the depths of our hearts, our souls, our minds, our spirits. We pray for your guidance. We fear disappointing you. We fear violating your orders and guidelines. We pray that you would guide us, protect us from the weaknesses of our own souls, protect us from the weaknesses of our own minds, protect us from the weaknesses in our spirits that come through our obedience to the world. Help us, O Allah, to see what we cannot see, to understand what we cannot understand, to know what we do not know, and to know what we need to know, and to know it in the way that you would have us know it. O Allah, protect us from fear and doubt of the ways that you have guided us to. And O Allah, guide us nearer to the path even than this. O Allah, purify us in our hearts, in our souls, in our minds, in our spirits. Bless us to have the desire to serve you completely. Bless us not to have desires for ourselves that transcend and that obstruct our ability to execute your will in the world for the benefit of ourselves and our families, our communities, the nation, and the world. We beg this of you only, for none can grant or withhold this but you. Allahumma sallallahu Muhammad wa ala Muhammad kama sallaita ala Ibrahim wa ala ali Ibrahim wa barak ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad kama barakta ala Ibrahim wa ala ali Ibrahim fil alamin innaka hamidum majid. Walhamdulillahi rabbil alamin. Alhamdulillah. Inshallah, let me see if we got. Excuse me, some announcements here. Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah. So we had a birthday. What's today? Today is the 9th. Alhamdulillah. Talina Amir Ballantyne, she had a birthday yesterday. Najia Wahid Rashid, birthday tomorrow, inshallah. And also, October 9th, Women of Master Dorothy, you have your monthly conference call, that's today. Men's group will also tomorrow have their conference call. And also, we want to keep it our dua, Diane Hinton, bismillah. She has improved since, I take it as her sister arrived at her side, and I believe her sister is Sister Georgetta Bia, inshallah, unless I'm mistaken. Alhamdulillah, so may Allah guide and protect us all. May Allah accept our prayers and guide us. Ameen. Wa akim as-salah.
فليعبدوا رب هذا البيت الذي أطعمه من جوع وعمله من خوف. الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمده.
ربنا ولك الحمد.
الله أكبر.
الله أكبر.
الله أكبر.
الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر.
الله أكبر.
الله أكبر.
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله.
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين. الرحمن الرحيم. مالك يوم الدين. إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين. اهدنا الصراط المستقيم. صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم. غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. الحمد لله فضل الله علينا الشكر.
السلام
عليكم.
نعم. السلام عليكم بلوغ صاحب.